Welcome to the Journal of Special Operations Medicine. I'm your co-host, Alex Merkel.
And I'm Josh Randles. And this is where evidence-based medicine meets unconventional warfare.
The views and opinions you are about to hear are the speaker's own, and nothing contained herein is to be considered the official opinion of the Journal of Special Operations Medicine or the U.S. government, including the Defense Health Agency, Department of Defense, Department of the Army, Navy, or Air Force.
Hi, everyone. This is Michelle Landers, founding publisher of the JSOM. I'd like to thank you for joining the JSOM's 20th anniversary interview series. We are excited to bring together a host of experts, all leaders in the soft medical community. In these interviews, we will be discussing the ever-evolving methods of treating battlefield trauma and injury and how those methods have changed over the 20 years since the JSOM's inception. I hope you'll find these talks as informative as we do.
And for one of our penultimate recordings, we're taking a bit of a detour from our traditional military practice and chatting about civilian tactical practice. Today we've got the privilege of chatting with Steve Doucette, and welcome to the show.
Hey, Alex, how you doing?
Great, thanks. And thanks again for your time. Really excited to learn about some alternative practices from what we've historically focused on in the military. And would you maybe mind giving us a bit of a background about your involvement with tactical medicine over the years?
Yeah, sure. So I'm a deputy sheriff with the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department. I've been assigned to our Special Enforcement Bureau on our SWAT team and our medic team for the last 18 plus years. So that's kind of where the beginning of my involvement with TEMS started, and then formally through training as a medic for the last 13 years.
I had the privilege of getting to do some training with you and was just in awe about some of the different platforms that you work on. So what is your involvement in some of those different assets or organizations here within LA County Sheriff, providing care to your community and your fellow service members?
Yeah, so when we talk about the emergency services detail, which is part of the Special Enforcement Bureau, SEB as it's referred to. The medics, having come from the SWAT side, the selection process is from the SWAT side, so they have a solid tactical background to begin with. And the program is unique in the nation in that it's a full-time program and operates the way it does. Once the selection process is completed, the medics go through a pipeline of training similar to the Air Force Pararescue. So the standard medical training, EMT, paramedic, tactical medic, which is a course run in-house, and then public safety diving, mountain rescue operations, and then the primary driver of our medical hands-on practical care is as a flight medic on our Air Rescue 5 platform, which is a Super Puma helo that we run three with. It's a seven-day-a-week operation, and this service, just the flight medic helicopter, LA County region is pretty geographically diverse in that we have urban areas, suburban, high desert, a maritime component, different reservoirs, rivers and lakes in LA County, and then a mountain component with our highest peak at 10,000 feet. We're dealing in a very geographically diverse area as one of a series of air squads providing rescue capability. And the Air 5, our main efforts are in the mountains. So small unit tactics, small crews, having to deal with patient extractions, not always the easiest to get to. So a lot of different skill sets are brought in, helicopters, hoisting, mountain rescue, ground-based rescue. And then the key is, and how this translates over, so we're providing the service to the community by getting them rapid transport with traumatic injuries, but we're also getting the field experience with some of the tools that we use on the tactical side of the house when we're operating as tactical medics on the SWAT team. All of these things we're using in the non-tactical environment on casualties in remote areas. So that kind of provides a nice background and practical application for when we're operating as medics attached to the SWAT team.
So it sounds like you've got a wealth of experience providing some of this austere tactical care. And then I think if I remember when I was thumbing through a couple of different state websites looking for tactical EMS guidance, I see your name in there as well. Do I remember seeing in an email a few years ago that you also run the tactical medic course for LA County Sheriff? Is that right?
So yeah, I'll take it back a little bit. In 2010, California, through regulation, saw the need to formalize tactical emergency medical support for SWAT operations and branch it out from there. So on the original committees back in 2010, I was one of the committee members representing LA County Sheriffs. Those guidelines were subsequently put through, and a lot of subject matter experts were involved, civilian, some military, and law enforcement. They subsequently got updated in 2017, but those guidelines became the basis for agencies that wanted to be presenters of formalized tactical medicine training for medics working on a SWAT team. So I took the original guidelines and developed our first 40-hour course. And the prerequisites for our course were you had to be an EMT or higher, and you had to be already been through a SWAT school and had SWAT training and been assigned to a team. So we're focusing the 40 hours on not so much the medicine, but the application of really basic concepts in that tactical environment. So since 2010, I've been running our course as one of the instructors with a cadre of medics and deputies that I work with to support it.
Oh, yeah. I did pull up the California Post Tactical Medicine Operational Programs and Standardized Training from 2009, and it sounds like that was one of the first formalizations. And then I think I saw that the CTEMS, the California Tactical EMS Committee, got stood up in 2013. Is that right?
Yeah, about 2013. And after we initially put out the guidelines for the formalized training for tactical medics, then the committee realized that it's not just the medics that you have to train in these concepts of how to operate on a SWAT team. A lot of your tactical teams in California are part-time teams made up of patrol officers, detectives, and these people are working, you know, uniform patrol. And when they have a SWAT mission, they, you know, they change out and they go. So we said, hey, we really need to address, and this is following what the military had already done. You know, they had taken the TCCC model originally that medics were running and said, well, wait a minute, if you're a deploying combatant, you know, your basic infantryman still needs to know the basic concepts of tactical casualty care. So we quickly realized that we needed to provide guidance and training for your line officer. And that's what the TEMS committee was set up to do, was to provide some guidelines and guidance for the training of non-medic patrol officers, fire department personnel, EMS personnel, and this is all centered around the whole active shooter response thing. That's kind of where people were looking at, hey, we need to have the fire and the EMS be able to work with law enforcement, and everybody has to be on the same page with, you know, basic tactical casualty care and basic skills. So that's what that 2013 TEMS committee was working on.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I wasn't aware of that. And so really, we started talking about the history of TEMS here in California, and I'm curious if you can maybe give us a bit of a better background about where did TEMS come from domestically or even internationally? Because I actually looked and had a pretty hard time finding specific dates or people in particular who were pushing this. It felt like it was a bit more organic, perhaps?
So look back to the early 70s when the concept of the paramedic started, about 1972-ish, when UCLA formed the first paramedic program in the nation. Back then, for the LA County Sheriff's Department, the emergency services detail, which is part of SEB, started putting medics, deputies into that program. So we've actually had medics get trained as paramedics since 1972. Back then, the deputies at SEB realized, hey, we have these ESD rescue deputies that are paramedics. They could help us out on our SWAT missions. And at the time in the early 70s, SWAT was still a new and an evolving concept. And it was very informal. There was nobody was called a tactical medic, but that would probably be the earliest use of police officer medics in SWAT operations. And then the program just kind of really stayed stagnant all the way up to the mid-90s when TCCC from the military started to be brought out. And there were some ESD medics that were in the Air Force and were close to the PJ community. And so SEB was getting some of the first looks at tactical combat casualty care as it was being rolled out to special operations forces in the beginning before it got rolled out to everybody. And so SEB medics have been kind of involved informally and then more formally, say, from the mid-90s on.
Oh, okay. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, you know, one of the questions we always like to ask is, what was the impetus for implementing this new point that we're discussing, in this case, TEMS? And it sounds like perhaps maybe the dates line up that initially it was experience with Korean War, which was one of the first times that we had medicine staged far forward. And then, as you mentioned so well, TTRC really drove forward some of your practice patterns. So that explains quite a bit. And I know you touched on it a little bit, but love to chat more about, who do you think the current audience for TEMS is? We talked about this a bit offline, and you touched on the active shooter. And do we now limit TEMS to the dedicated tactical medic on the SWAT team, or what's the audience for this?
When you use the term TEMS, tactical emergency medical support, that is really dedicated to the SWAT operation. And recently, with regards to California, the California Association of Tactical Officers is kind of formalizing their association a little more with various committees. And the very first committee that they've selected to initiate is a tactical medicine committee. And the question has come up about SWAT team medics and formalized training. So the audience for that is, if you're looking at just the SWAT team initially, does your team need to have a tactical medic? And we said, no, they don't need to formally have one. In the SWAT guidelines for organizing and running SWAT teams and operations, it is highly recommended. And the obvious point to that is, if you have a trained tactical medic, that person becomes your subject matter expert regarding basic tactical casualty care. So being able to push medical assets forward, this is where the TEMS medic, the tactical medic, shines. So the audience isn't just law enforcement medics, it's the firefighter medic and the ambulance medic who may be supporting the tactical team in the TEMS role.
You bring up a great point. I hadn't really thought about TEMS being limited to the special weapons and tactics teams, but I think maybe I'm using the wrong term then, and really what we're talking about is tactical medicine. Does that seem more appropriate?
I would say what we're actually talking about is tactical casualty care.
Ooh, I like it.
And we make a distinction, and I'll explain a little more. If somebody says, does the LA Sheriff's Department have a tactical medicine program? I will say yes. If you were to say, does the Los Angeles Police Department have a tactical medicine program? I will say no. But they'll say, that's a full-time SWAT team. Don't they have TEMS? And I'll say, they do. And they're supported by LA City Fire Department tactical medics, but they don't have a tactical medicine program. So we view a tactical medicine program as a big umbrella for a lot of different things. One of those things is TEMS. We provide tactical emergency medical support, but our program is a big umbrella. Everything from we provide training, we're a CE provider, we're providing an authorized advanced life support provider in the County of Los Angeles. So we're much more than just a TEMS provider. So when you say tactical medicine as a program, like a big umbrella, TEMS is just one part of that. And when you look across the state, there are very, very few groups and nationally that run whole tactical medicine programs. What the majority of the country does for the SWAT mission is provide TEMS support. And they may provide tactical casualty care at a very basic level, as they do in California, because it's mandated by regulation. It's really understanding, you know, the playing field. A lot of terms get thrown out. We hear, oh, hey, we have a TACMID program. Oh, do you? Oh, we provide TEMS. Do you? I had an inquiry just last week for somebody asking about SEB's tactical medicine course, which we're currently not running right now because, you know, the COVID and everything that's happening. But I asked, the inquiry came in from a law enforcement officer who's an EMT and assigned to a SWAT team. And he identified himself as a TEMS operator. And my colleagues and I, the guys on my team, we said, what's a TEMS operator? That's not even legally defined in California. And I throw it to you, Alex. If somebody said they're a TEMS operator, what does that mean?
Well, you know, being a currently practicing tactical medic myself, anytime anybody within special operations civilian calls themselves an operator, I do the face palm.
Oh, no doubt. I politely responded back and I asked, what's a TEMS operator? You know, that he'd responded back and said, oh, I'd been through a class, and he went through a 1-day class that had some SWAT focus to it. And I thought, okay, you took a basic class. You're either a tactical medic or you are not in California. And there are certain regulations and guidelines and hoops you have to jump through to be recognized as such. And let's be clear, the military and TCCC is the major driver of where tactical medicine and TEMS and tactical casualty care is today for the civilian world.
Yeah. And I think we've universally recognized that it's the right thing to do to extend this education, skills, and training to members of law enforcement and probably the wider population. So I don't normally ask this, but what do you think are some of the impediments that we have had to wider adoption and rollout of this from your perspective as a street-level medic and as a policy writer, as an instructor? Because as you know better than I do, there are a number of agencies up in my area that still have multiple barriers. And in chatting with folks across the country, there's resistance either from a belief system or from a structural agency system or bureaucratic system. And I wonder what your thoughts are on that.
This is the single biggest impediment. And California has tried to get past this by mandating it and putting it in regulation so that it is a shall type of language. So over the years, before you saw this, the bureaucratic leadership of law enforcement, they were working patrols in the 90s and the 80s, and for them, when there was a casualty on the street, you called the fire department. So there were many, many times you showed up and it was like, oh, the medic's already there. Oh, there's the fire engine. Go follow them. So that you weren't the one putting the gloves on and getting dirty. So that mentality, all of a sudden, your patrol officer is a sheriff, a chief, commander. And when you float the idea or the concept of hey, boss, you know, we need to train our guys in tactical casualty care. And they'll say, well, what's that? Well, we need to get our guys tourniquets and this and that. And then the next question is, why? Just call the fire department. We never had that before. Why do we need it now? So you have that type of organizational block. And California has gotten past this basically by regulation, so that in California, when you go to a police academy, you will be taught basic tactical casualty care. I had always argued for that to be put in there, because now you capture that young officer at the academy, and that becomes what they know as normal. So this has been an ongoing battle ever since I got into this line of work in California, and through the efforts of lots of people to push past the bureaucratic and the old ways of thinking. Now, when it's in regulation, oh, hey, my guy comes out of the academy and he's been taught these things. In California, we still have agencies that they're still not issued basic tactical casualty care equipment. And a lot of times the leadership has not recognized that as essential safety equipment. The medical thing is still, for a lot of chiefs and sheriffs and administrators, they still view this as a fire department EMS thing that they don't need to spend money on. And because departments aren't mandated to spend that money, they don't.
Yeah, I certainly remember the old first aid training I got decades ago was, if it's wet and it's not yours, don't touch it. Wait for the ambulance. And, it sounds like there's still some of that leadership around, but I love your soft powers approach, that essentially some of this is probably a long game, and waiting for those guys who just graduated and that's the norm for them, waiting for them to get in leadership, because that'll be the norm when they take the reins. You mentioned a couple of anecdotes, but you know how we like to wrap these things up in general is, how have we quantified the benefit from employment of tactical casualty care in the law enforcement practice? Do we have any good California level through maybe Cato, or national level through the NTOA, looking at the deployment of these skills training and experience and how it's modified outcomes, either for law enforcement injuries or members of the general public that are treated by members of law enforcement with this training?
So that has been another issue. Even when we were writing the tactical medicine guidelines back in 2009, 2010, the question was even asked on, how do we actually capture the data? And nobody captures it formally, which is unfortunate. In LA County, the LA County EMS agency, in their patient care reporting, they have, for the last couple of years, been collecting data with regard to the use of tourniquets and hemostatics and care done by law enforcement officers prior to EMS arrival. So they've started to capture that data. But that data is only as good as it's reported or as the medic includes. So that data collection, we haven't seen, you know, turned into formalized statistics. Anecdotally, what our own medic teams have done, what I know from patrol officers or patrol deputies on the sheriff's department, when they have applied some of the basic concepts, and I only can speak for the LA County sheriffs, that we've had absolute lives saved, deputy sheriff and civilian, by the use of basic tactical casualty care, the aggressive use of tourniquets, rapid transport, good patient assessment, taking casualties to the right places, not waiting for a paramedic response. So we've seen within our own department that kind of turning point where the deputies have assumed and kind of bought into the concept of, oh, I need to get my hands dirty here and do something. There's no formalized tracking, to my knowledge, at the national level, which is, I know that the CTEC committee, Tactical Emergency Casualty Care, was trying to work out ways of data collection, to capture this information, because it can be used, obviously, as a springboard to get agencies and organizations that may be reluctant to implement the training and buy the equipment.
Yeah, fair enough. And, you know, for those listeners out there who have an interest in helping continue to serve their community at large, as well as their law enforcement community, and do have previous training or experience in combat casualty care, do you have any good resources or recommendations for anyone out there who wants to help support their community by potentially providing tactical medical support to their law enforcement communities? Perhaps they live in an area that has an agency that hasn't yet stood up a program. And are there any good information, resources, or guidance that they could reference for that?
I think if they're wanting to be involved in that, obviously making the local contacts, but at the national level, the National Tactical Officers Association, their Tactical Medicine Committee, the Cato one here in California, you have really well-run tactical organizations in other states, Texas, New York, Ohio. These would be their officer associations. A quick internet search and you'll find them would probably be good starting points to go from there. Many states across the country have no formalized regulations regarding TEMS, tactical casualty care, or any of it. And a lot of it is, even as it started here in California, a lot of it's grassroots based. So the Committee on Tactical Emergency Casualty Care, the CTEC committee, would be another good organization to start with, because they're directly related to fire, EMS, law enforcement.
Ah, great. Yeah, let's not reinvent the wheel if we don't have to, because folks like you have spent the last 30 years doing that already. Well, I'm so sorry we didn't get the pleasure of hanging out at SOMSA this year in April, but I'm so glad that you had the privilege of presenting your same presentation in the online platform, and I hope that everyone had the opportunity, because it was just such a great presentation about your organization within LA County Sheriff, and specifically how versatile of an asset you guys are, being able to span the full spectrum of rescue, medical, and being first on scene as tactical officers. I am just a huge fan of everything that you and your team do, and thanks so much for the dedication to your fellow officers and your community writ large.
Awesome. Thanks, Alex. Appreciate it.
This is Sophia Rodriguez, Director of Marketing and Social Media Communications for the JSOM. I want to encourage our listeners to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn at JSOM Online, and to sign up to receive our free e-newsletter on our website at jsomonline.org. We love hearing from our subscribers and followers, and welcome your feedback and suggestions.